So today we're going to talk about how we've collaborated and used the public health grid for our benefit for Montana and Wyoming. What we're going to talk about today is the environment, of course, Wyoming and Montana with the MBS surveillance systems, the problem, which is sharing public health trend data efficiently, the solution, the public health grid technology, and some lessons learned that we have had so far. As you can see, we have Montana here and Wyoming. We have a population of 531,668 in Wyoming, which means about 5.1 person per square mile, because we have roughly about 97,000 square miles. And in Montana, we have 967,440 people, and I counted them all before I got here, which gives us about 6.2 people per square mile, with our state being about 145,552 square miles. As you can see here, we have a graphic of Montana with the cows, Wyoming with the sheep. Montana has more cattle than people, and the same with Wyoming, more sheep than people. So I'm not sure exactly the population per square mile, but it's a little more. Both of our states are pretty rural in nature, as you can see. We do share an interstate, I-94, which tends to have some travel between Billings and the northern Wyoming area. So what that means is it's not unusual for people in our areas to travel great distance to get to shopping and entertainment, school sports events. That kind of travel happens quite a lot in our areas. We do share the Yellowstone National Park, as you can see here, which is kind of unique in our nature, because that also means we bring in Idaho as well. Of those blue circles there, those are cities within traveling distance of the Yellowstone National Park, which is just a few hours driving. We have a pretty significant transient population, which makes it hard to track communicable diseases, problems that are related to the park visits due to workers and or visitors. So when they go to these blue areas, of course, there's foods being served and drink for thousands of those visitors each year, which means that disease may be acquired in any of these locations. However, people may not get sick until they're either in other parts of the state or back home. So what we have for information system environment is the NEDS-based system. It's an application service provider project that started in 2006 as a pilot, with a transition into production in 2007. And as you can see, the three states that are involved are Montana, Rhode Island, and Wyoming. Our vendor is CSC. And some of the advantages that we have experienced with the ASP is, of course, the sharing of ideas between those hosted states, the easy implementation of any solutions into all ASP sites if desired, and the technical expertise and support that our information technology programs did not have the capacity to provide. For Montana, I can speak for the fact that we, as our technology services division within our department, is about 80 people. So it's not a lot for the 3,500 employees what we have in our department. Then we also have the consistency in environments, but yet we are flexible to be site-specific for our solutions. So we don't have to implement something that Wyoming has or vice versa. So with that, I'm not doing the dance either.
Although she might have if she would have hit the cable here. Thought I'd point that out for her. I'm Shelly Hood with the state of Wyoming. I'm also a replacement for Cheryl Robb. She wasn't able to make it due to funding constraints. So the environment that we live in, You know, obviously we're very rural in state, you know, and we can't just have a town hall meeting, although we would all fit into this building, the entire state. So let's get some real life scenarios together to bring it all back down to earth instead of a theoretical bubble. Vacations, specifically, Mother's Day in Cody, Wyoming. So families tend to stick together. Cody, as you saw on the map, was fairly close to the Montana state line. And so you have families crossing from Billings and Bozeman down to Cody to see their moms, hang out with their grandmas, and have a nice Sunday brunch. They happened to all gather at a local restaurant, of which then they proceeded to order there. And hopefully we're not having these things for lunch today, but prime rib, you know, French dip, anything with an au jus sauce that happened to be tainted with salmonella. This is real life. It happened 4 years ago, I believe, 4 or 5 years ago. And during the investigation, of course, we saw a lot of cases develop in Cody itself. Then, you know, through an even longer wait, we found out that it crossed over and, you know, that we had patients actually in Montana as well with it. If we would have had the grid in place, we would have been able to bring up a map. Our EPIs would have been able to bring up the map and go, oh, they're seeing salmonella in Billings and Bozeman. Wonder if it's the same thing. And so they may have been able to get a better jump on it. Of course, it's not going to spread like, you know, like flu did with swine flu, but it still helps in the investigation speed along. Another issue that we had was a Shigella outbreak. We have Indian reservations in both states, and so, and there is regular travel between the reservations. And I'm not sure which reservation the Shigella actually started on, but they did traipse it up to the other reservation, and it spread up there as well. And given the nature of the American Indian Reservation, IHS takes over all control of EPI investigation. And so the state EPIs in both states kind of sit in the background and wait for data to funnel in. If we have IHS populating data into a database where the grid can pick it up, we can easily see this information a little faster. And my third one, Golden Corral in Billings, they had a norovirus outbreak that impacted 400 people, not just Wyoming and Montana residents, but also residents of several states. So wherever you run into a situation where you're bringing people in, oh, like the conference here, and I do have a little cough, I promise I'm not contagious. you know, sporting events, concerts, anytime you bring people together, you're going to run the potential risk of spreading any kind of illness. So the issues, like Cammie said, we have a particularly unique issue with Yellowstone National Park, where people will come in, workers, visitors, and there aren't any doctors in Yellowstone itself. And so if you get sick, you're going to an outlying area. So, you know, and you can hit Montana, Idaho, or a Wyoming doctor in that process. And so actually understanding that the outbreak is occurring within the park is a unique situation that we have that other states may not run into. But when you're relying on your EPIs to communicate through telephone, email, fax, and knowing who to contact, you know, because people move on. You know, oh, well, it was Susie, you know, so-and-so last year. I'll just call her. Oh, well, she moved on to the CDC. Oh, well, who took her spot? Oh, well, but let me get you in touch with her, you know, or him. And so knowing the contacts is great, but the contacts change. And so if you have a grid in place, then you just bring up this nifty tool, it'll show you what's happening, and then you can move on to who to contact after that. So the solution. One contentious thing that was brought up is data sharing and how to avoid data sharing agreements. Currently, right now, we're in a good area with this. We're only sharing data, and it's in a test environment. We're only going to be sharing data down to the 5-digit zip code, and so we're removing all PHI. And so we've been able to avoid any data sharing agreement issues of running through AG offices. Obviously, if you want to delve deeper into that, then you will have to get into data sharing agreements between states and jurisdictions. So this particular grid that we're going, Samish is going to show you, will be based on that scrub data. It can provide a single display selection. EPIs aren't typically your high-end users. They're very smart, but not necessarily IT-wise. And so it needs to be something very simple, very quick, and easy to use for them to facilitate the exchange of information and not to create yet another silo. So I'm going to show the demo now.
Morning, everyone. I'm Sumesh Sundareshwaran. You can call me Sumesh. I know the challenge is the last name. I'm a replacement, too. I was Stephen McCauley, who's our product lead, was going to speak, and I'm filling in for him, so don't ask me too many tough questions. So we were joking yesterday that, if you watch the movie The Replacements, so we are the replacements. I'm going to show you live connect to the ASP test environments, but before that, I'll just show you a slide. It's a pretty busy slide. Basically shows you what the data flow is from Montana. If I'm in Montana, I can request certain parameters to be entered into the NBS, and I'll show you this live on the Montana website, or Montana test staging server that we host. Just to give you a background about the NEDS ASP, it's basically a hosting site that CSC hosts three different states, Wyoming, Rhode Island, and Montana, in Meridian, Connecticut, in our data center there. So it's a pretty secure site, if that's the question, about data and stuff. But I'm trying to get my computer up to it at the same time. So the data flow is pretty simple. We ask for certain parameters. It goes to our NetSpace system. There is a layer of the FinGrid service, the NBS FinGrid service they have put on top of the NBS. What does that mean? That means that we don't have to put anything inside the NBS. We just have to have a link to the FinGrid service that has been built by the NICFI FinGrid team. And we integrated that into the NetSpace system using a link from the NBS. And it's on top of the NBS. It has a node which goes across to the node in Montana, in this case, goes to their FinGrid service, attaches or gets the data or retrieves it from the database that they have from their operational data store, and retrieves that the data back and plots it on a Google map for Wyoming to see. In this example, Wyoming is going to Montana. In my real example, where I'm connecting to the states, I'm going to show you Montana connecting to Wyoming. It works the same way, though. So that's the basic workflow of how the grid works inside the NBS. So I'm going to switch over to this. Hopefully this will work. All right. Bring up. That's our website, and just to let you know, that's our secure ID. I'm using one of my guys' secure ID. That's not my name. Just to be clear.
Strictly secure.
Yeah, strictly secure.
Never share your password.
And then I log into the NBS. This is connecting to our, all right, That is secure. He didn't give me the password. Name problem. I asked him not to put my last name in there. It'll take a long time for us to do the demo, so. Should work. So this is a two-factor authentication that we have. It's a secure ID card, and he has to have his own PIN code and his user ID. Plus, Kai also has to be in the NBS database as a user. So if I had a secure ID like this, but I was not a user in the database, then I would not be able to connect. So just to clarify that. And then we'll access. So we are actually hitting the NBS site or the NBS Montana server right now in Meridian, Connecticut. And these are all the filter criteria that we can give to this particular program so that it can get all the data that it requested to get, especially the aggregate data related. So we put in some test data in here, and I can take questions later, but I'm gonna select Montana and Wyoming in this case. And a lot of you might be excited about that biosense there, but I'm not going to show that. That we are still testing some of the nodes for biosense and distribute, and I'll talk about that later. I'm going to get this. So we are going to use the NBS aggregate nationally notifiable disease data, and it automatically populates this list box with whatever diseases are there or whatever conditions are in there in the database. And we'll pull up, we have put in some data for talk of the town. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to select the Montana node so that I can get all the data from Montana, the aggregate data from Montana. And I'm also going to select the Wyoming node so that I can get the data from Wyoming. So after I do that, I can request it. This goes through a Google API and pulls back the aggregate data and plots it on a map. We need to have some fillers also while we're reading, right? All right, so you can see that it plotted some of the data there. I'm gonna zoom in a little bit. And if I click on it, it'll show me total cases 1, the ZIP3 is 826, novel influenza virus infections, the search criteria. It is actually pulling up a small graph too, and we'll just wait for a couple of seconds for that. It pulls it from a grid service. I promise it'll come back today. Let's try something. Oh, there it is. So it shows you a small spike about the case count. There's only one there, so that's why it's showing you that. And then it shows you a small graph on what the case count was for this particular time frame that we put in. And that's how we pull the data in. There's one more way of looking at the data, which is the polygons. And I think this looks pretty good too, because it covers the certain area of the zip code on the map, and it looks pretty good. Any questions while that's coming up?
Yeah. And the fact that North Dakota and South Dakota while being on a different system, we could certainly still share data.
Yeah.
I think if you could.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So what Cammie is saying is, if North Dakota and South Dakota are in a completely different system that that's not NBS, they can still host the FinGrid service because it is on top of that particular database, and we can still query that service without even querying the data because the data is behind the service. It's not necessarily exposed to the internet or anything like that. So it's a very good point. So even if a particular state does not have NBS, you can actually go across and get the aggregate summary data from different states. So that's what, you know, Cammie's pointing out. Thanks, Cammie, for pointing that out.
You're welcome.
And so the polygons basically find, there it is. So if I click on the polygon, it gives me the same kind of data of what this is. So as pretty much the live demonstration, I can take questions. We are also doing this demo at the CSC booth. And certainly come and visit and ask technical questions to us. I also want to thank Montana and Wyoming for letting us do this. We embarked on this project April 2009, and our development team, led by Jit, did a wonderful job pulling all this together. Our product team, Steven and Christy and Mike, this team is amazing. They have pulled this together in a very short amount of time. So thank you. You had a question, Keith?
Yeah, when do you guys plan on implementing this?
Well, right now we are in the middle of the H1N1 thing. So we have put this on a back burner a little bit, but as soon as we flush a few things out, there are certain things that we still need to flush out related to the technology. As soon as we do that, I think we'll be able to get into production. It's a very good point, because once we do this as a proof of concept between the two states, it's just taking that service and putting it on other states. As I said, it's a layer which is connected to the database. It's nothing that, you know, that has to be extra. It's just a link that we provide from within the application. So, yeah. Sure. It's a loaded question. From a CSC standpoint, we can only show the proof of concept of 16 states and say, hey, you know, we implemented this very, very quickly. The NICFI Grid team is working on the other aspect of getting partnerships put together with the other systems. I think they have RODS in a sense as one of their partners. NBS is the third partner. They wanted to show that this particular thing works. As a partnership with other collaborative environments like NBS. It depends on who from Florida, for example, is going to talk to the NICFI Grid team and say, hey, we want to be a part of this. But again, the implementation depends on that application, like you rightly pointed out. They have to write the right parameters so that they can access the FinGrid service and whatnot. I hope I answered your question. Right, with that, we want to go on to the last slide, and I'll let Shelley talk, and we're here for questions.
So in conclusion, we understand that the data sharing agreements could be a situation that could be tricky with any state. And of course, you have to be thinking about that. currently in Montana and Wyoming, our LIMS, public health lab LIMS systems, are not feeding into our NBS systems, but we are developing that. And so currently that's being hand entered. And so once that becomes an electronic actual transfer of data, it'll be quicker to pull up on the grid. So lessons learned, you know, shared public health surveillance information via the grid can lead to earlier recognition of clusters and outbreaks, which hopefully you can see the potential with just more than the examples that I gave.
One functionality that I forgot to show you guys is we can actually export that data into an Excel spreadsheet at the state and save it on an Excel spreadsheet. The whatever data that you had filtered out, you could actually export that and save it. So the aggregate counts. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
The aggregate count being
GIPSI
format or what?
Yes, we are using the GIPSI format. GIPSI is a short term for geocoded interoperable population summary exchange. And we are using that format for doing this project, yes. Thank you.
Are there any other questions?
Yes, ma'am.
No. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you.